Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about our favorite shortcuts and time-saving tips and tricks. I'm Delphina. I use she, her pronouns, and I make the webcomic Sombulus.
I'm Bob. I use any pronouns, and I make the webcomics Into the Smoke and Demon of the Underground.
And I'm Finn. I use they, them pronouns, and I make the webcomic Heirs of the Veil.
Excellent. Okay. So webcomics, they take so long. And while the perfectionists in our brains might tell us that we must do everything the long way, I think we've all pretty quickly learned that the easier you make this journey for yourself, the better. So this is going to be some quick lessons that we've learned along the way that have changed our process and made life easier just across the board. Yeah, I mean, I just think there is this impulse, especially if you're coming from an illustration background where you want to make everything perfect and beautiful, and especially art-wise, I don't always think that's necessary. What do you guys think? Like, what are your art tips?
So I am really a sucker for trying to make everything beautiful. It's definitely a weak spot for me, but I also 100% agree. It's not the best trap to fall into if you're trying and aiming for longevity in webcomics, because it's just not practical. You may have up to like 7 or 8 panels in a page, and if you treat every single one of them as if it's a full illustration that needs to have a full amount of detail and needs to be beautiful from top to bottom. I mean, I'm using the word beautiful a little lightly because you can make it beautiful and simple at the same time. And I think that's the end goal, is figuring out the ways, the shortcuts where you can adjust your style and adjust your technique so that you are getting a beautiful result, but it's just not as time consuming.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like just being able to, like, maybe you start with longer things and just see, like, as you go, okay, well, what if I change this little thing? And what if I change this little thing? Like, it doesn't have to be all at once, because I do feel like there can be a lessening in quality or just even clarity in readability. And you don't want to sacrifice clarity, but you can sacrifice some of the details if you practice at it.
Yeah, I think it also kind of depends on how you approach it. Like for me, before I started Heirs of the Veil, I did like a lot of pre-work. I was working on textures. I was working on references for backgrounds. And now I'm of the mindset, and I think like for me, backgrounds are always the things that take the longest time because they're pretty detailed. So for me, I always take some time aside to make one background especially nice, but then have it be different sections so I can possibly use like some of these sections for other backgrounds later so I can reuse stuff. So there's like these phases where I spend a little more time, and then you go, okay, but I can spend a little less time at other parts, and those will then go much quicker. So I guess it's like a little bit of prep work can lead to a lot of possible shortcuts later down the line.
Yeah, I love the tip of reusing backgrounds and reusing different sections of them for different panels. And I mean, it's such a great time saver. It's one of those things that I, you know, have heard and don't do as much as I wish I did. But when I do it, it's really helpful. And even if you're using the same section of background again, you can make little tweaks to it. Like you can adjust the lighting, you can make it look a little washed out. And also, I want to emphasize the value of panels that don't have backgrounds in them, because you don't actually have to include a background in every panel. I think this is something that a lot of beginner webcomic creators or comic creators, they feel that, you know, they're warned not to have a lot of talking head panels. And that's true. But when you have some of those interspersed in between other detail panels, it can be really great for giving you some breathing room. And then, you know, those emptier backgrounds can balance out and emphasize the panels that have more detail in the background. So that's like one of the little tricks that I like to do. And the bonus is that it also saves time.
Yeah, 100%, because I feel like the clarity, it's about clarity for me, because I feel like you can you can go overboard on lots of different panels and lots of different backgrounds, but if it's a quieter moment or if you're trying to draw emphasis to the emotional reaction of a character, lighter backgrounds and a lighter touch with that will actually be more effective than trying to put a lot of stuff in there, because the reader will see this very busy background and they won't really know what to focus on necessarily. They won't know if they're supposed to be focusing on all the little details in the back or the character. So establishing shots, those kinds of things where you're trying to give the reader a sense of environment, a sense of place, for sure, that's when you go heavier on the backgrounds. But then there is the benefit of it's going to save you time and it's also going to be a better result if you pull back on the backgrounds a little more. And I know one of the problems I kind of have sometimes is that if I'm trying to reuse a background that I've already drawn, sometimes the line weight is a little different between panels. So sometimes I have a little bit of trouble like reusing the exact same background art in a lot of different panels. But what I found that I can do is I can still copy the art that I've done. I can retrace it, basically. I can throw it in the background of the thing and I can retrace what I've already drawn. And it'll be a little bit different by virtue of the fact that I'm just tracing it again with the line weight that I'm using for that current panel. But I don't have to rethink about every single thing that I'm drawing because I'm just tracing, and that goes a little quicker for me.
Yeah, that's something that I like to do a lot, even with character art, not even just with backgrounds, where if a character is in the same position in the next panel, it's really handy to just be able to duplicate the pencils and just re-ink, or, you know, just duplicate the inks and make a few minor changes. I do also want to mention a few quick fixes for those. You mentioned when the line art is too heavy. I know Clip Studio has some features that let you edit the line weight of an existing image. And actually Photoshop does too. If you go into filters, maximize and minimize, as long as your line art is black, those two features, they're not as fine-tuned as Clip Studio's, but you can actually bump up and bump down your line art with those little filters. So that might also speed things up.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so cool. Oh, I'm going to have to use this.
We're learning today.
I've been abusing that feature in Clip Studio so much. Yeah, but that's a very good point.
It sounds amazing. Like, I am a Photoshop-based creator. I do have Clip Studio. I just don't use it as much because I have so much mileage in Photoshop. I can already do everything very fast in it. But there are, like, sometimes it's worth jumping over to another program if it has one of those features that's just really a big time saver. Like, I will jump into Clip Studio for perspective rulers sometimes. And, you know, it does take a little extra time to switch programs, but if it's the type of thing that will save you time in the long run, sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually started as a Photoshop user too, and then I tried out Clip Studio, and it saved me so much time in my work that I basically stuck with it. But I just remembered one really, really cool tip that Delphi gave me once, because one other thing I've started doing after we talked about that was sometimes I would draw an expression or a character or a panel and it wouldn't really feel quite right in the moment. And this is like the tip. Just don't destroy it, save it somewhere, and then you can reuse that later because you have already drawn something that's useful for you. And I've honestly have done this with like expressions so much, and it made my life 100% easier, because there are so many times where you draw something, you don't feel quite happy with it, it doesn't really fit the mood, but maybe it will fit another mood later down the line in the comic. So keeping the things and maybe not just scrapping everything you do when you're not happy with it right away might also be a shortcut and a time saver in the long run.
Yes, I have so many files. I have like, because I... a lot of times when I'm writing something, I have the script and then I draw it, and then I don't like what I've drawn, or I want to go in a different direction. So you can always save those. You can always just put those in a separate file and grab them later. And I feel like I maybe have been doing it too much, because now I have this like giant file of like all these things that I'm like, it's hard to parse all of the things that I've saved. I need a better organization system or tagging system. And I think that there's a limit too, right? Like, you can do all this prep, you can do all have all these resources and stuff, but if you spend more time like hunting for the right brush or hunting for the right thing every single time, sometimes that's not a time saver at all. So that's just a little pitfall that you have to think about sometimes too.
Yeah, that is exactly the point that I was just thinking of, that like sometimes it's faster to just draw the thing than to search through like 2,000 brushes for just the right little thing that's going to give you, you know, like searching for a leaf brush. You could have drawn the leaf in the time it took you to search for that brush. But one thing that helps in that area is keeping your brushes and keeping your assets and keeping your files organized, which is, you know, organization can be a dirty word in some circles. But I find, especially for brushes, I organize my brushes by project instead of just by the type of brush it is. So a lot of times, you know, I want to be able to toggle between brushes with a shortcut. So if I have two brushes that I use frequently, or three brushes or whatever, I'll keep them next to each other in my folder, because then I can just switch to the next brush with a keyboard shortcut. And, you know, I like, if I organize them, both Clip Studio and Photoshop allow you to organize your brushes into folders. And so I will just drop them in, like, here's my effects brushes, here's my, you know, here are my architectural brushes. And it's just, you know, it saves you from having to search quite as much.
I need that. I need a better system, because I do, like, and I forget what I have or like what I'm doing. But like, you could sort it by project, you could sort it by scene, I suppose. And that probably goes for like 3D assets and stuff too. Just whatever makes sense, all of these different things, so you don't get overwhelmed, because sometimes it is easier to draw the leaf. But yeah, I mean, these are all great tips. Anybody else have any other art tips they want to share?
Delphi, you mentioned visual clarity. And sometimes we put tiny little things in the comic that might not help clarity, or that are kind of like meh, neutral, we don't actually need them. And when I started with my comic, I had like different colors for every part of the character I wanted to shade, a different color for the face, for different clothing items. And that obviously like took 1,000 years to be done with just shading characters. And I kind of simplified it more and more. And then I was basically like, okay, my comic most of the time is really dark, and the characters are also wearing like very dark clothes. Will it actually be super visible if I stop shading darker parts in the clothes and just go with the faces and light areas? And I kind of tried that out, and I stopped shading basically everything that's dark on the clothes, on the character's hair. And it basically visually didn't really make a difference, because the shading wasn't super readable on all the dark colors to begin with. So that saved a lot of time, and it didn't really impact the look or the style of the comic. So sometimes it's worth to experiment, like especially with visuals, what do you actually need? What is actually necessary? And if you leave something out, especially if you have like a lot of steps in your process, the stuff you leave out, will they actually, if you leave them out, negatively impact the final product, or will you be fine? And maybe you can see, okay, what can I basically leave on the table without sacrificing the look of the comic?
Yeah, that is such an important tip, because you can have like a character design or, you know, like an environment that's super complex. It doesn't mean you have to draw it with that level of complexity every time it appears. So I love the idea personally of, you know, kind of having like a showcase panel where maybe something is a little more detail, and then having different versions of your designs with like that lower level of detail or that lower amount of shading, that lower amount of differentiation between colors. I think that's such a good tip.
Yeah, I have to tell you about my layer hell that I used to have, because I used to make a different layer for the hair, a different layer for the skin, a different layer for the shirt, a different layer for the pants, like all of these different layers, because I thought it was going to be a time saver to be able to like, oh, well, if all of these things are separate, I'll be able to change the colors easily. And like, it was not a time saver. It kind of made my files a little more bloated. And it was unnecessary. So having those questions, like Finn said, like sit down with yourself and say, if I remove this one thing, let me try doing that for a couple panels or a couple pages and see if there's a difference. See if like that actually is necessary for my process, or if, you know, I could go without it and it would go a little quicker.
Yeah. And especially with like the problem where you are like, okay, but what if I need to do color correcting later? Because that's actually an important point. And for me, I found out if my flat colors are like solid enough, then I can just basically select the color I want to edit maybe, and then put an overlay, no, not an overlay layer, a correction layer on top of it and adjust the color in the way that I want. And I think my ultimate time saver in that regard is like gradient maps, because just color correcting at the end and being able to tweak the colors and have it look nice and cohesive without actually having to go back in and take a lot of time to edit the colors is great, and I love it. And I'm so happy for having discovered gradient maps in 2016.
Oh my god, I love gradient maps so much. I want to marry gradient maps. one of my hacks that I love is that I will usually just do my backgrounds. Even in my full color comic, I'll do my backgrounds in grayscale and then just do a gradient map for them to color them. It's so quick. And actually, on that subject, I wanted, you know, while we're talking about shortcuts, I wanted to bring up literal shortcuts, like keyboard shortcuts, because I've actually, you know, created an automatic action. Like in Photoshop and Clip Studio, you can record yourself doing various functions and then replay it. So it's like called an action or an auto action. So I have recorded myself doing a lot of stuff, but just as an example, creating a gradient map and setting the layer mode to color. And I have bound that to a keyboard shortcut. So now I can just create so many gradient maps whenever I want, just with a keyboard shortcut. And so, yeah, the moral to this story is that you can create custom shortcuts. You can, you know, apply them to whatever it is that you do the most frequently, or just record an auto action. You can customize shortcuts. Like if you're, for me, one of my traps was I was always accidentally hitting the Z button because I was doing Command Z, Control Z. And so I kept accidentally switching to the Zoom tool. So I just disabled Z as the Zoom tool, and now that doesn't derail me anymore. So yeah, I love customizing shortcuts. I love recording automatic actions. These are all just very like kind of practical admin stuff that can, you know, I use them to set up my layer templates. So I create my inks layer, I create my pencil layer, I create my shading layers all through automatic actions.
Actions are so good. Yeah, I also use them when I'm resizing the page because I don't like to put the full resolution art on my website because it's slower to load and it's not necessary. So you can also set yourself to say, okay, save a copy of this, whatever this file is, at 72 dpi at these dimensions, and then you don't have to do that like ever again. You just push the save button and it does it. And same for print resolution things when you're setting up things for books. Actions are so much time savers, especially if you're making a lot of changes throughout your archive.
I love that. I'm like been meaning to get into auto actions. I have like a few set up with gradient maps, but I didn't know that you can just have like basically an auto action to save as in a certain size. Like I always feel it's so slow to like save every page individually for web. So that's really cool. I really need to do that.
It's so good. Yeah. Like, especially if you work in batches, because I know some people, like, they don't work one page at a time. They'll do like a whole section of pages and then save them all out and get them together. So I recommend it for sure.
Yeah, I'm a batch person, and it is a big help to do it that way.
I mean, on that note, like, batches as a concept is a time saver for some people. I don't work that way, so you're going to have to tell me about that.
I could tell you about that. I mean, well, one of the biggest things for me that I struggle with is that I get very rusty with my pencils. So if I do them in batches, then, you know, by the time I'm on page two, I'm not rusty anymore. And so then, you know, I start getting into the zone and getting like the flow and all of that stuff. And then by the time I'm sick of it, I can be like, okay, now time for inks. And I can do all the inks at a time. And actually for colors, I will simultaneously color like an entire background or like an entire scene's worth of backgrounds all at once. So I'll have like, I do vertical scroll, I should mention that, for my newest comic. So the files are very narrow, and I have them split up so I can see the entire scene very easily. And I'll just go across all the open files and like just do all the backgrounds at once, and then like do all the color harmonizing at once. And it is a really handy way to just kind of do things assembly line style. And this is just really a matter of, does it work for your brain? Like, does it make your brain happy? Because, you know, if it doesn't, then it's not a valid shortcut. But if it does, I mean, I personally love batches.
Yeah, I think some brains just need like the immediate validation of having something done. And some people get anxious if they have like so many to-dos, so to speak, even though it is a full batch. But personally, I also like working in batches. It just comes more naturally to me than just working one page at a time. But my process there is like super simple. I basically just, I sketch a ton, and then I ink a ton, and then I color everything, which, yeah, is probably like the simplest way of doing batches. But I think having like the batches in single scenes and then working on everything that has to be done and that is basically cohesive between all these pages is like really smart.
Yeah, I feel like it helps cohesion. It helps, yeah, if you do feel rusty or something. I just feel like sometimes like I'm in an inking mood and I'm not in a penciling mood. So I want to be able to have like the freedom to switch between them. And if I don't have like pencils ready to ink, then I can't jump into inking. But it does depend. It's very much about how your brain works. These are all things like you should try them. They've had success with us, but if it doesn't make you happy, I mean, this is, you know, the point of making webcomics is to enjoy the process as much as possible. So like to that end, like I don't feel like you necessarily need to shortcut everything that you could possibly shortcut.
Yeah, and I think to that, we also like, we all doing our comics in a digital format, but there's also people who do their comics entirely traditionally. And so, of course, this is not like 100% applicable, but I've been thinking about that. And I had a time where I've also drawn comics, or at least inked my comics traditionally. And what saved me a bunch of time was, the first thing was drawing with like these colored pencils in like blue and pink, which you can just like, if you scan your pages, which you can just like remove the colors after you've inked it. So you don't have to like use the eraser. And then later on, I turned to a light board so I could just do my sketches and then trace them, and does that saved like a ton of time, because I was also able to basically then trace backgrounds or details of backgrounds. So even if you work like traditionally and you don't have like digital shortcuts, there's also a ton of shortcuts that you can use with working traditionally, like also whiteout, like tons of whiteout at some stages.
I knew someone who was working traditionally, and like if they messed up on a panel, but they didn't want to like redraw the whole page, they would like put a sticky note over it and just like redraw the panel on the sticky note. So like you can correct that digitally once you scan it in to put it on the web. So that's always an option. But I do feel like batches, again, like they're going to come in super handy if you're working traditionally, because you don't want to get out like different tools every single time. It's not a matter of just pushing a different button. So being able to do all your inks at once or do all your pencils or at once and stuff is probably going to be even more applicable if you're working traditionally.
Yeah, I was basically like, batches was my entire life when I worked traditionally. And when I like messed up a panel, I would get a piece of paper, I would redraw the panel on that piece of paper, and then I would like cut it out and just glue it onto the page. So, and in most cases, if you like, you can basically get rid of everything that makes it look weird then digitally. Yeah, so basically everything works, even if you don't want to edit a ton digitally afterwards.
I just love hearing about traditional comics workflows. I have never done a traditional comic. My first comic, I started out, you know, I did pencils in batches traditionally, but every other part of it was digital. So this is just such a cool thing to hear about, all of these like little tricks.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know that I would do it again, but you know, there was a time before I had very good drawing software. So we have a lot more good digital options now than maybe we did before. And that has made a difference for me.
That is definitely true.
Yeah. Any other art tips or?
I think I covered mine.
Yeah, same.
Okay. What about writing? Does anybody have any writing tips for the writers out there?
Okay. Yeah, I have a few. I don't have anywhere near as many writing tips as I do art tips, because for me, at least by nature, the writing is so much faster for me than the art. So I haven't felt as much a need to shorten it or take shortcuts. But one area where I really do take shortcuts is in the way I format my script. So I don't work with an editor at the script stage. I usually only get outside feedback at the thumbnail stage. And so my scripts are for my eyes only. And when something is for your eyes only, you can be as sloppy with it as you want. I don't even type my characters' full names. I just put in the first letter of their name because who cares? It's just for me. I know who B is. I know who A is. You don't have to write out full-length panel descriptions if you're writing just for yourself. You don't have to even number your pages if you're going to figure that out at thumbnail stage. So I just say, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself to make your script beautiful and perfect if the people who are seeing it don't need it beautiful and perfect.
Yeah, I think this was a real problem for me starting out, because I felt like there must be a right way to do things. There must be a proper way to format your scripts that is the good and best way to do this. And that's not true. That's really not true, especially if you're a solo creator. Like, obviously, if you're working as a team, you want to make sure that whatever you're doing is something that your co-creator can understand, for sure. But like, you can work that out for yourself. There's no wrong way to do this. So if scripting like in a Word document is easier for you, do that. I do feel like there's some people who use Scrivener or some other kinds of more novel oriented software out there, and that helps them organize their notes and stuff. I was using a website called World Builder, and it was kind of intended for the tabletop RPGs. So you have like sections for magic systems and sections for your characters and your sections for locations and stuff like that. And you could put them all in there and put all the information you wanted to. You basically build yourself a little wiki to be able to show like all the different places, and you could link around and stuff. That was a fun exercise. And I put a lot of notes in there, and then I never looked at it again. So I feel like for me, at least.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, for me at least, it was not long-term helpful. And I feel like, especially with world building, some of us won't even start our comics until we have like everything sorted out, from the currency system to the magic system to every point on the map, and that's not necessary. Like, that's my biggest, like, writing thing. Like, just don't go overboard with the world building if you haven't even started one page of comic. You don't need it yet. You'll have the opportunity to come up with this stuff as you go, but sometimes it can be a very big time sink that I see people fall into.
Yeah, I think, like, if your main points are cohesive, you can just add a little bit of flavor later on. You were actually reminding me of, and, like, it hurts to say that, but 15 years ago, I was using a software for screenwriters where you could actually, like, have shortcuts for character names, stuff like there's this establishing shot now, etc. So you could basically, when you were writing your script, you didn't have to type in everything at once, but you could have, like, shortcuts. But for the life of me, I cannot remember how the thing was called, because I've lost it and then I forgot what it was. But I think, like, one of my main tips for writing, especially for the script writing, is, like, don't be scared to just, if you get stuck in the scripting process, be like, and then this thing happens, and then you move on to the next scene, and later on when your brain works a little bit more properly again, or you had some time to think it over, or another scene might have, like, triggered the right course of action in the prior scene, you can always go back and then fill in that blank. If you, like, basically know what is happening, you don't have to, like, get stuck on that one scene, but you can move on and get to that later on. Because something that I had, like, a really big problem with script writing was that I got stuck on a scene. I didn't know how to proceed, and I would, like, just stay there, not move on, and would waste a lot of time in that process before I was basically just like, this and that happens, and now I move on to the next scene until I can figure out what the characters are going to say or what they're going to do exactly.
That is such a good tip, especially for keeping yourself from getting stuck or derailed on something that isn't working out in script format. Like, another element of this is you don't even really have to script at all. I mean, you don't have to script every scene. You don't have to script at all. Some people go straight to thumbnails. For me, I find it really a lot easier to just go straight to thumbnails for action scenes. I find them really difficult to script. So I will just forego the script entirely for those. And, like, I kind of call it improvising, but I am a heavy scripter. And so it took me a long time to give myself permission to do that. And once I did, I was like, oh my God, this is so much easier. One thing I do like, though, even if I do have to, if I improvise something and, go straight to thumbnails with it, I do still like to go back and type out the dialogue in a word processor or some sort of program that has an actual good spell check and auto formatting, because that will help you when you're putting it into your final files and doing your lettering.
Yeah, 100%. Just adjust the process to make sure that you, like, if it's hard to script certain things, if it's very much visual, because I think we're all visual creators if you're drawing the comic. And so if you think better visually, sometimes it just is easier to, like, scribble out even a rough idea of what's going to happen. And then you can work from there. I know Thane isn't on the episode, but Thane has, like, notebooks and notebooks of all of this stuff. And I don't think she actually scripts things. I think it's just all thumbnails, all, like, rough dialogue in there. And that works. So, like, if it works, just go for it.
Yeah, 100%. And I will say, I am typically someone who likes to write everything out in advance, but, it's about flexibility. It's about, doing what works right for you. And on that note of writing things out, one thing that helps me a lot with just story development is that I just keep a little text document. And whenever a notion comes to me, I might be in the shower and, like, just hear a dialogue back and forth between some of my characters. And then so like once I dry off, I'm like, okay, I gotta drop that dialogue into my text document. And it's great because then I can reference it back later and I don't have to try so hard to remember every little thing. And yeah, I recommend taking little notes just throughout your day. Do it. You don't have to have a fancy program. Like some people just do note cards. I just do a text document. You can do it on your phone. Just, and you know, worry about organizing it later.
Yeah, I think that's like really great advice. This goes like as well if you do not write your script or you're like a more visual person, because something that I have been doing is sometimes I get like ideas for scenes or for a moment in the comic, and then I try to like sketch it out like as rough as possible, because it's easier for me if I have like the visual, and if like I get this picture like flashing in my brain, I'm like, okay, I need to put it down now. And I had so many moments in the comic process where I then went back to the thing I had already done and could basically reference it or just put it in the comic, because I knew the scene would happen at some point, and I saved myself a lot of time by making a little doodle, or as you said, making some notes for these scenes right when they basically came to me and inspiration was fresh.
One thing for me too, because I have a comic and it's over 1,000 pages and I forget what I've done before. And sometimes that can hold me up because I have to make the story continuous. I don't want to contradict myself or something like that. So what I've been doing too is I go into Adobe Bridge, which is a thing that I used to open by mistake in Photoshop because there's like this little like it's like three or four options down, like open in Bridge, and like you open it up and it bogs down your computer. But what Adobe Bridge does, it's kind of a like more robust file manager program, and so you can actually print off contact sheets for yourself from Adobe Bridge. And so I've got a little template that I do. It's, you know, I do 4 pages per sheet of paper, and I can export a PDF and I can print out all of my finished comic files into one big long document. And I have some little portfolio folders that I slip them all into. And then I just have a very easy way of flipping around back and forth through my archive to figure out, oh, where did this happen? Where did, you know, I need to reference this scene. What happened back there? And the longer your archive gets, the more of a lifesaver this is, because flipping through hundreds and hundreds of digital files takes so much time. And yeah, just please, I'm sure there's other ways to do it, but Adobe Bridge is what I use just to do that. And I think it's actually not part of Adobe's subscription stuff. You can get it for free. So even if you're using Clip Studio, it's something you can utilize.
I didn't know that it was free and not part of the subscription. I mean, I have the subscription, so, you know, but that's great to know in case I ever need to cancel it. But no, I love that so much, you know, because having to go back and remind yourself what you did in a long story, that is such a real thing. And my technique, I hadn't figured out a way to do it visually, so I'm will probably look into that. But my thing is that, like, I do transcripts for my comic just for accessibility. But you could also do this with the script. Is like I will have my computer just read the text, read the transcript back to me, or read the script back to me while I'm like cleaning or like sweeping the floor, you know. And so then when I'm doing chores, I'm just having my own work read back to me to remind me of what I've done before. So that's my little thing.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Just like vacuuming and listening to like, wow, this is a pretty good audiobook. Who wrote this? And like, oh, it's me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think these are like such great tips to basically save yourself time later from like flipping through your comic, because I have this so many times, and even if it's just not just story beats but maybe backgrounds, and I'm like, okay, how did I draw this before? Did I draw this background exactly like this before? And then you basically go through 100 pages to find the panel, because somewhere at the back of your mind you're like, oh my god, I did draw this before, right? Where is it? And I think these are like some really cool methods to basically keep these things in line. What I kind of do with important story beats, I basically do a little timeline. And once the thing in the story has happened, I make a note in the timeline to later on like quickly reference, okay, this did this happen? What did the character say? What is basically, what is the foreshadowing that I put in to like keep myself in line and to keep myself from having to like go through so many pages to check out what I've done before?
Oh yeah, no, having a quick visual reference is so helpful for that sort of thing. I use Scapple, which is by the same people who make Scrivener, and it has the same like super generous trial period where you get like 30 days of use instead of just 30 calendar days. And it's really nice for being able to like plot out just the broad strokes and be able to pinpoint, like I will break down my script beginning, middle, and end, and just like the major plot points. And so then it's really handy to just quickly take a glance at it and remind yourself. No, I completely agree. That's such a great way to remind yourself of things.
Yeah, I love this conversation because I know we've all been doing comics for a decade or more this point. Yeah, and it like the struggle is real. Like even if you like, I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis onto like how do you format your future pages, but like when you have a long form webcomic, this is going to be important to figure out for yourself. So whatever you can do.
Yeah, we're in it for the long run for sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what else do we have? Like writing or like anything else? Just like what do you do for social media and like posting on your website? Does anybody have any tips?
I copy paste the titles of my comic for Tapas on my website and then just change out the numbers. I mean, that's like a super stupid shortcut, but it works and it saves me time. And if I also work in batches, so I recently it hasn't been going so well, but usually I will just schedule my pages. And I think that is also a really great time saver because you upload them all at once, you schedule your updates, and then you don't have to think about it anymore for a while. Yeah, I kind of miss TweetDeck because there you could also like schedule your tweets and your update posts. And I hope that Blue Sky will maybe get something similar so I can schedule just like my social media posts whenever the comic updates.
Well, Finn, I have to tell you about PostyBurb. It's a little application that you can get. It's like a desktop application. You download it and it supports like pretty much everything that it can. I don't think it can do like Facebook. I don't think it can do Facebook or Twitter anymore. And yeah, I'm not sponsored. This is not a sponsored post, but PostyBurb is great. It's got options for the alt text. It's got options for scheduling. And if you have a update post that's like mostly the same, like my comic updated this week, you can copy posts that you've already done and put them back into your queue and just change out the image or like just make little tweaks and stuff, and it'll retain all of the places that you want to post it and everything like that. One thing I also like about PostyBurb is that it will have a breakdown for Blue Sky or Tumblr or Mastodon or wherever you're posting. And like if you want to tweak whatever the default message is to format it properly for that social media platform, you can do that. You don't have to do that. If it's a pretty simple message, you might not want to do that, but the option is there. And I just like that a lot because I can always tell when someone is using a cross poster and like the tags aren't in the tag section in Tumblr. So they're just hanging out there and it's just like, great, you're not here. You're like, this is very transparently put on there. And I know we're all trying to save some time here, but come on, you have to pretend at least to be here. But this is actually pretty solid. I really love Postybird. Please check it out.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Like I actually love that you can like edit it for the different sites, because I totally agree. It's always like a little bit obnoxious when you have like this reposter and you basically know, okay, this was originally an Instagram post or whatever.
Oh, but it's so true though. That's the thing. And the other thing is, aside from it just being a little tacky, is it's not effective. And the point is, why are we even posting on social media? It's like the only reason for it is, I mean, if when you're posting your art, is because you want your post to reach people. And if your hashtags aren't in the hashtag section, it's not going to help you. So that sounds like a really, really handy program. And I'm going to have to look into that because I am a big fan of scheduling things, but I've never actually used a scheduler for social media. Like I will just go in manually and schedule my posts for every platform that allows me to schedule in advance. And then I have to post live on the other sites. And it's just, it's a hassle. And I mean, yeah, so I'm definitely looking into that. I mean, I will say for just queuing my episodes on my home site and then on like Webtoon and Tapas, like those I will schedule in advance. And I have a checklist for like every part of the page that I need to address, like make sure that I have, you know, my news section covered, make sure that I'm covering like my latest Patreon extras, make sure that I'm mentioning everything I need to mention. And then I also have a checklist for all the places that I need to post about it. And I will, you know, keep a list of hashtags in my file. This is a little bit, it's not quite analog. It's not as fancy as Postyverb, which also has an awesome name, I have to say. But, you know, if you are not quite ready to dive into a scheduler, it's maybe a nice kind of in-between way to manage your social media. And, you know, again, same thing with writing notes for my script. If I have an idea for a promo post that, you know, is kind of maybe in between episodes, or if I just have an idea for what I want to say, I'll just drop that in a notes doc too. So I have a list of potential social media posts I can make. And then, you know, I don't have to be as fresh on the day that I write it up and post it because I can just refer to my old notes.
Yeah, I think like the entirety, especially with like the marketing and social media, also like opens up a really interesting point, because sometimes like, I mean, we do not judge shortcuts in this household, but sometimes shortcuts can also be like kind of bad. Like if we don't think about, for example, the repost that we're using, and it's just basically formats everything like an Instagram post or a Facebook post, then it will probably not look very good on other sites and people will be less inclined to check out your comic. And I mean, it also depends on the person, but I'm also, when it comes to shortcuts in general, what we see a lot, especially in like Webtoons, for example, the 3D models. And I'm not opposed to 3D models. I also like use them as reference points, but sometimes it can be like kind of jarring to just have the 3D model plopped into the scene, and it's so obvious. So I don't want to call that a bad shortcut, but I think you have to think about, does the shortcut you're using hurt the way your comic reads or your comic looks? Because another shortcut, for example, could be that you're basically not proofreading your script anymore because it takes time. And I mean, that's like a very extreme example, but it takes time. So you might not do that. Or another shortcut could be that you're not formatting your speech bubbles and the text in your comic, because that's not as important as the art. So I guess sometimes you should think about, might this shortcut that I'm using right now heard how the comic reads, how the comic looks, and how people might perceive the comic, its marketing, and everything all around it.
That's a really good point because, yeah, there are, again, I'm going to come back to clarity. Like, if you're not, if it's not clear, if it's not usable, like, people will see that you're taking a shortcut and it's not working. And the way to combat that, I feel like, is just really get yourself an honest group of peers. Really listen to them. Don't get defensive if somebody is saying, I don't know if this is working out for you. Because I see this with lettering a lot. Lettering is something that doesn't come intuitively to everybody, but it's difficult for people to know and to plan where to put their letters and stuff like that, or what fonts to use sometimes. And maybe you started out with a font that you thought was cool, but a lot of people can't read. And so you're thinking like, okay, well, I could go back and fix 50 pages worth of font, but like, that's going to take so much time. Why don't I just like start using the new font now, and then we'll figure that out later, or not at all. And it is important to know when you should invest the time, when it's and especially with like, okay, it's only 50 pages. You can do this. You could do this in a weekend. Like, if it's something that's going to improve the perception of your comic in the long run, and again, reaching out to peers and seeing like, do you think this is necessary? Do you not think this is necessary? And please be honest with me about that, and really listening to what they have to say. Because I know another time sink is reboot hell and going back and redoing all the noses on your comic. And like, sometimes that's not relevant. Sometimes you don't need to do that. But also, like, if people can't read the beginning of your comic, if people can't understand what's going on, or if people are chased away because you feel like they're not really here, they're just a bot, then like, what's the point? Like, you really need to kind of think about and budget your time accordingly, I would say.
Yeah, that's such a great way to sum it up, because the way I feel is that most shortcuts, they're beneficial, but there are trade-offs. And so you kind of have to balance, like, what is this going to help you with? And then what are you going to sacrifice with this particular shortcut? So it's a matter of evaluating, judging for yourself. What do you want out of your own style? What makes other people able to read it and understand it? My personal philosophy is that as long as you're not stealing, it's fair. It's just a matter of, does it work with your style? And, you know, so yeah, use a 3D model if it's something that you bought or is a public domain or a Creative Commons. Just, you know, make it look good with your comic. And yeah, it all comes down to what's going to give you the longevity and what's going to make you be able to feel pride in your work in the end. Like, the way I look at it basically is, you know, prioritize the parts that carry like your unique creative fingerprint, prioritize the parts that bring you joy, streamline the parts you hate, indulge in the parts you love. And I think that would be a good foundation to, you know, getting the best and the most out of your webcomic journey.
Gosh, that's so well put. I love this.
Yeah, I love it too. I really feel that. That's so good.
Yeah, streamline the parts that you hate, indulge in the parts that you love. I think that's the end of the game. That's what you want to do. I'm going to pause. All right, so I think that covers it. It's been so amazing talking to you. I've learned so much, because I'm gonna be doing that, like reading the audio version of my script to myself, because I've run out of podcasts at this point. So that's gonna be great. But yeah, if you have any kinds of tips or tricks that you use, we'd love to see them in the comments or in our Discord community. So go ahead and share those and share your wisdom with the world. But for now, that's it. I have been Delphina, and you can find my webcomic Sombulus at sombulus.com.
And I've been Bob, and you can find my webcomics at intothesmokecomic.com and demonoftheunderground.com.
And I've been Finn, and you can find my work at airsofthevale.com.
All right, so I'm going to just go ahead and start this audiobook.
We have our plans for the day.
Do we have a shortcut for the audiobook? Just play it at speed.
I do have a shortcut.
Oh, you can play it at double speed. Oh my gosh. Next brain. Okay. Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. We are supported in part by the fantastic folks at Hiveworks, home of many amazing independent webcomics. Check out their store at hivemill.com to find ebooks and print books of many fine Hiveworks titles. We're also supported by, well, listeners like you over on Ko-fi. Drop us a few bucks if you enjoy what we do and want to help us continue talking about anything and everything webcomics. And don't forget to give us a follow on Blue Sky and Tumblr so you don't miss an episode. You can find links to all of those at screentonescast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.